People want to be heard, and we need to have conversations, and we may not agree, and that's okay if we don't agree, but we need to respect that somebody else has an opinion and bring those different perspectives to the table, because that's the way we get to the right solution.
Hey gang, we're back with more Future Proof. Bill Sheridan here. Hope you're doing well. We're doing great here at the show this week. Thanks for asking. And here's why. Our guest this week is none other than Lexi Kessler, partner at Aprio, former chair of the Maryland Association of CPAs, now stepping into a history-making role as just the third Marylander to chair the AICPA's board of directors. And obviously, we couldn't be prouder. Lexi's joining us this week for a conversation that's full of insight, inspiration, and honestly, a lot of hope for the future of the profession. We're going to get to that here in just a moment. First, a reminder, this week's show is made possible by our preferred providers. These are the folks that we actually like to think of as partners. These are the organizations, the relationships, the partnerships that allow us, the MACPA, to do a lot of the great stuff that we do for our profession, including this podcast. But these partners do way more than that. They're doing things that we believe can help you become more future ready and thrive in this ever-changing world, and help really is the key word there. They truly do want to help. So please reach out to them, find out more about what they can do for you. You'll find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website. That's macpa.org. Okay, so Lexi, as I said, just the third Marylander to serve as AICPA chair. She follows Kimberly Ellison Taylor and Anoop Mehta in that role, and her resume, impressive, no doubt, but what really comes through, I think, in this episode is her why, her purpose, her passion for her work and for the profession. You'll hear her talk about how a high school bookkeeping class led her down this path, how her curiosity and sense of efficiency made her an early adopter of technology tools long before automation was cool, and how a short stint away from public accounting only confirmed that she was right where she needed to be, really. And what's even more exciting, I think, is the energy that she brings to her new national role at the AICPA. Lexi isn't just taking the gavel at the AICPA. She's coming in with a clear agenda, and that is to listen more deeply, to connect across the profession, and to strengthen trust and alignment at every level, from students to CEOs to regulators. She also chaired the recent work of the National Pipeline Advisory Group, and so she's particularly passionate about solving the profession's talent challenge, not just with policy, but with purpose as well. And she's calling all of us to be part of that solution too. And really, if you want, if you walk away from this conversation with anything, it will probably be a renewed commitment to the passion, to the purpose behind this profession, and what it means to lead during big times of change. Lexi brings both optimism and realism to the table, and that's just a great combination in any form, really. And I think you'll walk away here with a renewed sense of what's possible in this profession. So let's get to it. Here is my conversation with the AICPA's new chair, Maryland's own Lexi Kessler. Lexi, good to see you again, and thanks for being here. We've talked quite a bit, but I don't know if I've ever started with this question. A little bit about you. I mean, where are you from originally? Tell me a little bit about your origin story here.
Well, I actually grew up, for the most part, right outside of Washington, D.C. in Rockville, Maryland. But my mom's family is from Texas. I was actually born in Texas.
Oh, okay.
And moved around a good bit till I was about 10 years old. And then from 10 years old on, it was in the Maryland, D.C. area. So not a native, but by Washington, D.C. terms, pretty close.
Yeah.
And went to University of Maryland and ended up graduating and staying in Maryland. So I'm kind of a Marylander. Roots in Texas. A Marylander.
I'd say we could call you a Marylander at this point.
Yes.
Big family, brothers and sisters. What was that like?
Small, actually. I have one brother. He's married with two kids, adult children now, out in northern Idaho, actually, fairly remote area. And I have two children, my daughter and son-in-law just gave my husband and I our first granddaughter.
Oh,
she's
4 months
old, which is wonderful. They live in New York City, and my son and his boyfriend just left Washington, D.C. and moved to New York City. So they're five subway stops away from each other.
Oh, there you go.
Which is nice. So when we come up, we get to see, we're all together, which is nice. Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah.
Why accounting for you, Lexi? What drew you to the profession?
So I actually, when I went to college, I was torn between a couple of, I knew it was something in business, just wasn't sure what. And I had taken, like a lot of people, in 11th grade, I had a bookkeeping class, Mrs. Wilson's bookkeeping class. And it made sense to me. I got it. And, you know, back then accounting had this image. I'm like, well, I really don't fit that image, but I really enjoyed it. So I decided to just go ahead and try that. And so I graduated with a degree in accounting and then joined through on-campus recruiting. So proof that it works, because it was what was then Aronson Green Fisher, now Aprio. So it was actually the same firm. It was 65 employees then. And it's just very fortunate that the firm morphed as I needed it to, and it allowed me to. It grew, so responsibilities could be created. And I mean, there were struggles along the way. It wasn't like it was all easy. It wasn't. But it, you know, as you know, kind of was the one where I started, the thing that you did back then was you went into public accounting for 2 years and then you went into private, mm-hmm. your business and industry. And so I stayed for 4 years and I was really afraid of tax season. I was married and wanted to start a family. And, so I went into private for 9 months and I came back because I really missed the clients. I missed the diversity of the work. And mm-hmm. I missed the pace, honestly, as well. And I know that was just the one situation where I happened to be in. So I came back and I never looked back. I say that it was one of the best things I ever did, but I would never do it again because it really gave me clarity about what I enjoy doing. And from that point on, I never looked back, but had moments of questioning, you know, do I want to be a partner or not, being afraid of the work-life balance. And there was one point, I remember the meeting even, when I was starting to work with different partners in the firm. And I was a senior manager at the time. And I thought, you know, I know just as much as he does. Maybe he knows more in his area, but I actually could handle this. So why am I selling myself short? So I went into the meeting with my evaluation partner and I was like, you know, I think I want to become a partner. And he's, you know, I said, I'm not going to work the hours that those other people do. And if they produce more, they should make more money, right? As far as contributions to the firm. So 3 years later, I became a partner. And I don't think what most of the partners realized is that I was super organized and I used all the resources available to me. And I got more work done in less time because of that. And I was embracing technology. I was using it to do things faster and better. And having that open-minded, you know, it was really of how can I get this done more efficiently? Because I can't stand to waste time.
Yeah.
And that served me well, actually. And I think becoming a mom helped because I had no choice but to work.
Yeah. Yeah, no so. Doubt.
Yeah,
it sounds like you have to be an AI disciple based on just what I just heard, doing things
today's
more efficiently.
It wasn't back then, but
yeah,
you know, but it was using technology where you would import numbers into your audit software and you would code and link in the data into the tax returns back then. I mean, that was new stuff when I was actually doing it. And it was really cool to be a part of creating that for the firm and how it should work. And so I always embraced that. I firmly believe in that, because if you can automate something and have it work, that takes away just a routine process. It gives you time to spend on so many more things, whether it's helping a client or just spending more personal time. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we talk so much about what we do as accountants and not enough time about why we do it. Mm-hmm. Why do you do what you do? What's the purpose behind your work?
Because I make a difference in the lives of the clients and the people that I work with. Mm-hmm. So if we have, and most of my clients are closely held businesses, and and I led the firm's government contracting practice, which companies that do business with the federal government, right? It wasn't the firm that did business with the government. These companies did. And it tended to be more of building value in the company and then selling the company and taking through that process. What do you do personally for that? What are the plans for it? And for most of these clients, it was all of them. That was their biggest asset. And it was a life-changing moment for them when they did do an exit. And how do you help them with that unknown of getting them through that? Or just something as simple as that they have chaos going on in their firm and they need help. You know, I need help. We need to stop the bleeding. Okay, here's our plan. We're going to fix it. And here's what we're going to do. And giving them that reassurance, I think, really helped a lot. And volunteering for the profession, Bill, was the best thing I ever did, because being around others that are in our profession, that see things with different perspectives, it makes you better in having a conversation with a client or with your accounting and finance team or with whoever it is, but making that difference. And then internally, it was the mentoring. It was the guiding and developing. And I didn't do this by myself. There were several of us that mentored individuals, but to see those, whatever their goals were, to achieve their goals, it was incredibly rewarding. And it still is. It's still very rewarding.
That's great. Well, while we're on the volunteer track here, talking a little bit about your tenure as AICPA chair, first of all, congratulations.
Thank you.
You are, I believe the third Maryland CPA to serve as AICPA chair now?
Yes, I am. That I'm aware of, yes.
Yeah. So, and Kimberly Ellison Taylor and Anoop Mehta being the other two. Speak to that for a little bit. I mean, what's the significance of this in your mind? You know, little old Maryland just keeps out churning out leaders at the kind of the highest levels of the profession. What comes to your mind?
I think it's not the size of the state society. It was the approach that Tom Hood started and is continuing through today. And that was including your key executive leaders that were volunteers to attend those council meetings, AICPA council meetings, where you really started to develop and learn a lot about the profession. And in doing so, and then you became more engaged with the profession, you know, outside of MACPA with AICPA, because it exposed you to what else was out there. And I do think that that was foundational learning that gave us an opportunity to be better and more well-rounded, maybe, but just more up to speed with what was happening in our profession. I think that had a lot to do with it. I've actually talked with Tom about this. Like, what do you think caused that? You know, and I think, you know, that was one of the things he did, is he invested in people.
Yeah.
And I think that is the key to success, no matter what you do, what organization you're in, you invest in your people, it'll all pay off.
What does this mean on a personal level, personal and or professional level for you?
Oh my goodness. It's, I never could have imagined, Bill, honestly. I'm beside myself when I think about it, because I wonder, how did I get here? You know, I'm thrilled that I'm here. It's a crown jewel of my career. It's such an opportunity to continue to make a difference in the profession that it really means a lot to me. I love what this profession can do. And that's not a line. It's truly what I believe. And to have an opportunity to represent the profession on a global basis is just, it's like I won the lottery or something. It really is. It's just, it's professionally one of the best things. Personally, it's incredibly fulfilling. I get to go to different state societies and give them updates, especially when, you know, National Pipeline Advisory Group was going on, a lot of that work and updating state societies. But even after that, I love going to the states and meeting the folks where the boots are on the ground, you know, what state societies, the important role state societies really do play for our profession, and seeing the pride people have in their states and what's the thing about their state and what's the culture of the state. I love learning about that. So it fulfills this personal side for me of just exploring different people in different cultures and different, even within the United States. And you hear a lot of different perspectives that, you know, I never thought about it that way.
Yeah.
You know, because our country is very vast and very different. And when you go to these different places, you get to see these different things.
It's more than more that unites us, I think, than divides us. When
I agree with that. Yes. At least I'd like to. Sorry.
Yeah. And you mentioned the National Pipeline Advisory Group. You chaired that group in a hunt for possible solutions to the talent shortage. How will you apply that experience and what you learned there to the national stage at the AICPA?
Well, I'm actually incredibly lucky that I was able to do that right before I came into the chair role, because it was really a 10-month long listening and learning journey. And learning the nuances and complexity, like scratching the surface of our profession, really helped me to understand and being able to have conversations about issues around our profession. I got up to speed faster, in other words.
Yeah.
But more importantly, it really taught me that you need to listen. People want to be heard, and we need to have conversations. And we may not agree, and that's okay if we don't agree. But we need to respect that somebody else has an opinion and bring those different perspectives to the table, because that's the way we get to the right solution. Yeah. So it really taught me a lot from a leadership perspective, because I could see that happening, the collaboration starting to build as between when Impact first started versus when it presented its final report or the draft of our final report. It was really quite powerful.
Yeah.
It have been a part of it. It was a lot of work.
But a lot of great things came out of it. I mean, you saw some of the change start to be enacted, including like at the MACPA, we started having these conversations about purpose, about meaning behind the work, and mm-hmm. trying to change the narrative a little bit about the profession. And so I think there was a lot of good that came out of all of that work.
Yeah. And every time I go to any of these state societies, I challenge every single person in that room to do something about it. Mm-hmm. We all need to own that one.
Yep. Indeed.
So let me stop and see how I can turn off. I do have my Teams closed, but it's not.
Oh.
For some reason, it's continuing.
No worries.
You're a Zoom person, not a Teams, though, right?
That's true. And it's not from my end. It's not terribly annoying. I hear a little beep every now and then, but nothing that interferes with our conversation, I don't think. So.
You know, I know what I can do is I'll turn off notifications for this. That's what I can do.
Okay.
Because I don't even need to be on this one anyway. That's what's even more frustrating. Mute. Got it.
There you go.
Okay, let me close it back down. Okay, all right. Keep going. Sorry about that.
No worries at all. The folks at Aprio have been supportive of all this, I'm sure. Yeah, tell me.
Yeah, I'm very fortunate. Yeah. AICPA did ask me to confirm that Aprio would support me in this role, because it's almost like a full-time job.
Yeah.
To do this. And when I asked Rachel Kolberman, our managing partner, that, you know, I was approached about this, and if my name was put forward, would Aprio support me in this role? And his immediate response was 1,000%.
Oh, that's fantastic.
And it has been in action, not just in words. So I'm very fortunate to have that support.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of our partners are actually also have been state society CEOs as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really wonderful to see the number of individuals that are involved with our profession, and the firm does support.
That type of support just makes your job that much easier too.
And more meaningful, but making that difference, you know.
Yep. Your priorities for the coming year. I know there's a certain amount of fluidity involved in all this, based on what might happen down the road. But what sure. What do you want to focus on this year?
I think what's important is, first of all, there's a great opportunity here with it being Mark Koziel's first year as CEO. He's in the middle of that first year.
Yep.
And being able to help him with creating what he wants his agenda to be, you know, for the organization. And being able to be a part of that is a lot of fun. And we'll be doing some things at council that we'll be getting involvements from everybody to do. And I think that the most important thing, though, is going to be really listening and connecting with people. Throughout our ecosystem in a sense that there's a lot of players that are involved. It's academia, it's regulators, it's public accounting, it's business and industry. Everybody has a different perspective about the future. And we need to get all that feedback together so that we can come up with a plan for our entire profession. And on a global basis this time, not just in the United States. So that's going to be something new and different that we're looking forward to doing. But I do think that, not think, I know that that listen and connect, the time is right for that, and to increase the trust in our profession and to start to run with it.
Yeah.
You know, really paying attention to what the market is telling us and monitoring that and trying to be ahead of where the market is going to the extent we can. It's a little challenging lately, but you know, it's interesting when I was preparing for professional opportunities update to give in the near future, I was looking at some of the slides that did a survey earlier in the year, and it was from CEOs and the things that they were concerned about the most or looking forward to, whatever it may be. And it was really, everybody knew what we were coming into, though, because the number one concern was the impact of tariffs.
Yeah. Right?
Here we are in the thick of the tariffs.
Mm-hmm.
So there's actually, to say that we didn't see it coming isn't true. We absolutely saw it coming. And the firms that will do well are the ones that saw it coming and started to do something about it. They started to create that plan B. Mm-hmm. So I think it's important that organizations are paying attention to the signs that are out there.
Yeah.
And, you know, every strategic plan needs to have a pivot in it or a couple of pivots. And so I think that these past few months have taught us that. I mean, every administration, there's change. Being in DC, you see that, right, around the DC area. So this one's no different from that perspective. It just was a little bit more disruptive than most have been. And it was a lot more disruptive than most have been. Yeah.
But we've been as a profession, I think, talking about this for years and years now, this notion of anticipation, right? Of
yes,
of spotting trends before they flatten us and figuring out what we're going to do about them. And I think that plays right into that. Is just
absolutely,
this was coming and started having those conversations earlier, that the people who do that are the ones who are going to kind of ride the wave a little bit more successfully than others. So
yeah, especially around AI. Mm-hmm. I mean, those that are going to it's not that AI is going to take over. AI is going to enhance.
Right.
It is going to free us up to do more of the things we probably enjoy doing, which is helping a client or helping an organization cross-functionally. How do you help it operationally grow? And those that don't adopt AI are the ones that are going to be struggling to survive because they didn't adopt it.
Yeah.
It's just happening so fast. I mean, change. I've said, you know, I think about what I did when I started my career, you know, 40 years ago now, as an entry-level staff person, and what today an entry-level staff person is doing are night and day. They're not even, they're don't even come close in comparison to what the change has happened. The only difference now is that the change is happening much faster.
Yeah.
Right. So the change that may have happened in 5-6 years is happening within a few months. So I think that's the challenge, is how do you adapt to that change of technology so quickly,
right,
in an efficient way and in a prudent way that you can rely on the information, because you do need guardrails to make sure that what you're doing is right.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You can't just assume it's right.
I was talking with, I think it was Tom Peters at one point, and the notion of AI came up in the conversation. And he said, you know, I like to call it IA instead of AI. He's like, it's intelligence augmented is what it is. It's not, you know, it's a new tool that's going to help us do what we do better.
Yep.
And, which I think was a good way of looking at it. So
yeah, I agree.
What would you tell a young person about accounting? Just somebody who's trying to figure out where they fit or what they want to do. I mean, why should they consider this profession?
I think accounting has so many avenues of possibility. It's not, for example, it's not just public accounting. It's not just business and industry. It can be forensic accounting. It can be valuations. It can be turning into wealth advisors. And I heard this interesting statistic I believe that it was, check my notes, but it's somewhere around like 25% of CPAs have become CEOs in the United States, or they have an accounting background. And in the United Kingdom, it's even more than that. So what does that tell you about the foundation of knowledge that you get from being an accountant? It's tremendous. And you can pivot on any direction that you want to. You can be passionate about, and my son, when he was younger, he wanted to be a vet. And then when he got into college, he realized, he says, Mom, I think my passion for animals is much greater than my desire to do chemistry, you know, and to do the schooling and all these other things that went with being a vet, a veterinarian. And I said, well, you know, why don't you think about accounting? Because then you could go to work for like the WWF, World Wildlife Foundation, or something like that, that has a mission that you could help them fulfill that mission.
That's right.
And be able to do that. And as Warren Buffett has said, accounting is the language of business. It is the way to communicate so that people can make informed business decisions and you make an impact. So it's just rewarding. It has so many avenues to go from that. As our business world changes, you can pivot with it too.
Anything that you're passionate about has an accounting function tied to it in some way, you know? So
that's right. Even if you own your own business one day, you need to understand what the numbers mean.
Right.
You need to understand where you're going to.
Yep. Right? Yep. That's a really great way of looking at it. The value of membership in your eyes, Lexi, at the AICPA level, at the state society level, what's the value in being a member?
Oh, it's tremendous. I mean, I have gotten so much more in return than what I've given. It's the individuals that you meet. It's a profession that is willing to share information and knowledge and resources and ideas. It's a very giving profession. And when you're growing in it, it's such a help to have somebody that you can trust to go to that you've met through a committee or met through board service, whatever it may be. And I think one of my biggest regrets is I didn't get involved with it earlier in my career. Mm-hmm. Because every time I go to something, I get some nugget of information that just floors me how I'm able to use it and implement it, whether it be in mentoring somebody, whether it be in giving advice to a client, whether it be changing a process within the firm. People need to get outside of the walls or their virtual walls of their offices. If you want to grow professionally, you get involved. And it doesn't have to be, it can be just a committee occasionally, you know, just attending some of the great content that's out there that MACPA, for example, does. You guys, I mean, there's great content that's out there for learning. And there's even from a perspective, Lisa Sines, who's a former chair, we were having lunch and she shared with me this idea. My husband's like, oh, this is great because he's a CPA as well. There's these classes on AI that MACPA is doing. And like, when we're retired, we need to take these classes because if we want to stay current with what's happening, we need to continue to be engaged. And that's what we're going to do, is continue to be engaged. It's just such an opportunity missed to not be involved.
Yeah. What does the future of the profession look like to you?
Oh, I think the future is going to be very dynamic. I think that accountants, CPAs, are front and center at the table now because and when you think about what's happened with the pandemic, everybody turned to CPAs, right? When there's this significant change in administration, maybe it's more in our region, I'm not so sure, but I think it's spread pretty far, especially with the tariffs. People are turning to their CPAs. What do I do? Well, the reality is our world is disruptive now, but that's kind of what life is. I think, I don't think it's like, this is just going to be a blip.
Right.
And we're poised to be that go-to resource for individuals as these disruptors occur.
Yeah. And they're going to, and they will occur over and over again.
We're just moving faster than what we ever have in the past.
So. I think you're right. It's just the world that we're living in now.
Yeah. And there's a lot of change happening in other countries, not just in the United States. So that will impact us at some point as well.
What do you love most about being a CPA?
Well, it goes back to earlier. It's making a difference.
Yeah.
That's really the best part. We speak at a university and you're speaking to entry-level accounting students. They're like, you know, I wasn't thinking about majoring in accounting, but now I am. Mm-hmm. Made a difference for somebody, right? You opened the doors for them in a way that hadn't been before. And that's just great. It's really wonderful.
Well, Lexi, thanks as always. Another great conversation and best of luck with this year.
Thank you, Bill. I appreciate it.
All of us in Maryland are cheering you on, of course. And we're looking forward to catching up with you again soon. Thanks for your time and insights. I appreciate it.
It was great. Thank you, Bill.
Great talk there with Lexi Kessler, partner at Aprio and new chair of the AICPA's board of directors. Lexi was installed as chair during the AICPA spring council meeting in DC. We've got details about that on our blog, photos on our social channels, more resources too, all in the show notes for this episode, which you will find on our website. That's macpa.org. And don't forget this week's show, as always, made possible by our preferred providers. These are the partners, our partners in this profession. They're doing things that we believe can help you become more future ready and thrive in this kind of chaotic, ever-changing world. And you will find out more about all of our preferred providers on our website, macpa.org. And that is it. Gang, thanks for being here as always. We'll be back with more stories next week. But until then, have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.